You know, when you speak of community risk reduction, we certainly have to look at super cold temperatures as one of our risks when we walk outside in the morning, whether we're going to ski or whether we're going as emergency responders to help folks that, you know, drive off the road. So
you're listening to CRR Radio from the Vision 2020 Project. Hi, this is Ed Camo from CRR Radio. Today we're going to be talking with Chief Arnold Baker and Battalion Chief Kathy Clay. And before we get into it, I did want to mention that the interview I did with Chief Clay, I recorded last December, and she talks about some pretty cold weather and snow and things like that, and I just didn't want you to think that they're having some pretty unusual weather up there in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So with that, let's get into today's show. Okay, today we're talking with Arnold Baker, who's the chief of the Chelan County Fire District 5 out in Washington State. Thanks for joining us, Chief.
My pleasure.
Chelan County 5, now tell me if I'm correct here, it's predominantly a volunteer district, isn't it?
That's correct.
And I know that you're doing a lot of CRR out there, so how is it doing community risk reduction with volunteer fire departments? What are some of the challenges you're facing in doing that?
Well, actually, the challenges are basically minimal, because when you use volunteers, they've got ownership in the community. And as long as they can see that their efforts are being productive, they don't mind putting in time to see a benefit. And knowing that we've got homes that don't have smoke alarms, we want to reach everybody and get our community 100% protected. And using volunteers, like I said, it's ownership of the community.
Is it a challenge, though, in terms of time? Because, I mean, I flash back to my days when I was doing it, and, you know, it takes a lot of time to be a firefighter. And in this day and age, it's even more and more. Does that present a challenge, you know, alongside with everything else they have to know and train to do? Now, community risk reduction, home safety visits, and all that stuff is added to it. Is that a problem?
Yes, time commitment can be, but, you know, it's when done with scheduling and get a group of firefighters and say, okay, on Thursday evening, I'd like to get out and do some community risk reduction. And so as long as there's a schedule and they know what they're going to be doing, they jump right in and do it.
Can you give me some specific examples of CRR that you're doing in your community?
Well, in the CRR in our community is we do the home visits and smoke alarm, and I've got my people trained that when they walk into a home, you're looking at the type of home. Is it a manufactured or is it a stick built? Or, you know, so you want to look at the type of homes and look at the kind of risks. In our area, we're predominantly electric heat, just because power rates here are reasonable. So we know that electric heat is going to be one of those things that we want to talk about. We walk into a home and we look at the what's that family's risk, and is it an elderly that they've got fall risk, and you know what kind of cooking, and so we kind of take a quick scan to look at the areas that we would see as higher risks for that family. And educate. Smoke alarms is an opportunity to get invited into the home, but education is the prominent thing that we want to give that family.
So your firefighters are looking at things other than just fire safety, other than just smoke alarms when they go in the home.
Exactly. It's everything that generates a call, everything that's going to disrupt that family, there's an opportunity to change a behavior and educate that family to reduce them from having an incident.
So I guess the way to say it is CRR is not just another word for fire prevention, right?
Correct. The community risk reduction and integrating that to looking at what that family's needs are, what their risks, and addressing, you know, them specifically to their risks.
You have any successes you can point to that CRR has done in your community or that you've heard around you?
Well, you know, it's hard in a small community. We, you know, haven't had fire deaths in many, many years, and so we don't have anything there to say statistically that we've reduced. We do have families that we put in, like directed for grab bars for like the bathroom, and they show an appreciation to say thank you that you've helped us to get this, and we know that we're safer. So there's an appreciation that has come from a family knowing that they're safer and knowing that their homes are protected with smoke alarms. And so we really created this opportunity for the fire district to be appreciated by community members because we're taking the time to go into their homes and provide services in the prevention idea of risk reduction, that we're there before the incident, actively doing things for them without waiting till an incident happens.
And besides the fact that you're making the community and people safer, do you think you see some maybe ancillary benefits off it in terms of, gee, when it comes to budget time and such, people remember you guys. They remember that, yes, they came in and put these grab bars in for me and that sort of thing. Do you think you see a payoff in other areas as well?
Oh, we absolutely see the payoff in an appreciation of the community because they know that their fire department is active at doing things, looking out for all members of the community, not just a certain class. And so we've got a lot of programs going that we try to help people with needs in the community, but community risk reduction is right up there. We know that we've done the right thing to enter people's homes and help them with their issues, that risks that they didn't know they had.
When you're talking with your peers, other fire chiefs, what are their views towards CRR? Is it something that they're embracing? Do they see the change coming?
I've worked with almost all of the other fire departments in my county. I've got three departments to go, and we're trying to secure a grant so that we can, and they're open, and they want to bring the program in so that we can get them some smoke alarms, and they can take the program. And then we're going to have 100% of our county, and it's a predominantly volunteer department county. We've got one larger city, and then a lot of very small communities, and many of those departments are totally volunteer. So we've got some great opportunities of career versus volunteer, also, you know, carrying the same program. But our goal is to get 100% of our county active in CRR.
Oh, that's excellent, 100%. I mean, did you have any difficulties selling them on the idea?
No, actually not. Is the opportunity, people understand that there is a significant opportunity when you can get smoke alarms on a grant and get participating with that. And so having that, people know they have needs. And so I've gone in and done training with departments. And I always started out with, we are the choir. And if you don't have smoke alarms in your home, you're doing those now. You're starting there. You got no business going out to tell anybody in the community that they should have something if you don't believe in it to the point that you do it yourself. And so we start at home, and then when the firefighters have that benefit in their own home and their own homes are safer, that the message is easier to carry to the community.
And I've also found in the ones I've done that it's kind of a good training opportunity, a training ground. You're going into the firefighter's home to put them up. That's where you get the chance to show them this is how you do it. This is the procedure for putting them in and where they go and all that sort of stuff.
You're correct. And the installation is very simple. And but knowing tricks of the trade of putting them in more in places where they're going to be away from vents and cooking areas, and so that we don't want the citizens to have false alarms. Let's cut those to the minimum, and so that they're not annoyed with the alarm going off every time they're cooking. And so we've kind of had some training opportunities with firefighters to how to help with those situations.
What kind of impact do you think CRR is going to have on the fire service going forward? I mean, is it sort of the new hazmat? Is it the new tech rescue? Is it the new thing that the fire departments are going to be doing going forward on a regular basis now?
I think that community risk reduction is the future of the fire service. I think that as we kind of look, we're watching EMS calls double in the last handful of years, and so we're watching the call volume escalate, and so it isn't fire prevention. It's all types of risks in the community, and we're looking at if we don't do something, we're just going to be inundated. How do we, the budgeting to staff and respond then becomes an issue, and if we don't do community risk reduction and try to eliminate unnecessary calls, then I think it's going to end up being budget problems down the road. And so this is just an opportunity to look at our future and say, let's respond to the incidents that we really have no control over. They're the accidental and those human-caused incidents that can be reversed by prevention or a risk reduction, then that's a win for the community and for the fire department.
And you mentioned EMS calls going up, and earlier mentioning grab bars, for example. Do you think it's going to become even more important as the demographics change? In other words, as we all get older, you're going to start getting more of these types of the slips and the falls and things that are related to people aging.
We're looking at our community as a demographic is we have a lot of second home. And so people have in our community, because it's a beautiful area, they have bought their retirement home, and yet they're still working on the west side of the state. And as they retire, is we're going to look at a huge increase in population. That increase in population is going to be retired people. And we know that there's an increased call volume with that. So we're kind of seeing on the front side of that. 40% of the homes in my community are second home. They're unoccupied much of the year. And, those people are going to move here permanently. And we're going to see the numbers are going to change and trying to get ahead of that. So it's a demographic we're watching, and we're trying to be on the front side to do something about it before the population gets here.
Yeah, so it looks like strong CRR is definitely in your future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking with Chief Arnold Baker from the Chelan County Fire District 5 out in Washington State about CRR. And, Chief, I really appreciate you taking the time and chatting with us today.
It was my pleasure, and I just hope to help other departments and available to talk to other people about community risk reduction and how necessary it is in the fire service in the future.
Joining us today is Kathy Clay, who's a battalion chief and fire marshal for Jackson Hole Fire and EMS. Thanks for joining us, Kathy.
You bet, Ed. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Well, we're here to talk about CRR, and I guess probably one of the most basic questions I could ask you is, what does CRR mean to you?
CRR, community risk reduction, is a reminder to me, especially in my position as fire marshal for Teton County, to consider what is actual risk to our community. I love the example, and it's fairly unique that a town wouldn't have railroad tracks, but we don't. And I think it's a great way to explain that we're not going to consider a railroad incident to be a high risk or even a risk at all in Teton County, which plays out in a lot of ways. It means we're not going to train our firefighters. We're not going to educate our public about risk reduction for train accidents and railroad crossings. I love how that, to me, explains what community risk reduction is about. I had something happen last night, actually, that ties right into community risk reduction, too. A short story to tell about an incident. We had a blizzard last night in just outside of Jackson, about 12 miles. A car pulled over to help another car that couldn't see the road and drove off the road. As the woman got out of her car in the ground blizzard, she literally got run over by another vehicle. Tragic incident. She's currently alive still at this point, and hopefully will be able to get through her injuries without much more than a big memory. However, this is the third person in our county in the last 2 years that has been hit and run over on a highway. And thinking about community risk, in my position, I have to say it is time for me to start educating our public about highway safety. So that's what community risk reduction means to me, is taking these events that happen in your area, and every area is so specific to another. 50 miles from here, a town, you know, across Wyoming, I guarantee doesn't have these type of incidences, but they have their own set. And that's where we want to work as community educators and as fire departments that can train for anticipating these kind of events that continue to reoccur, and educating the public to help them with the awareness of how to prevent preventable incidents.
So I guess from what you're saying, that CRR is just not another word for fire prevention, right?
Absolutely. Community risk reduction, interestingly enough, for Teton County, has very little to do with fire prevention. Of course, we talk about it. We talk about it quite a bit. But in the big picture, risk for fire is a small element of our community's real risks. Carbon monoxide is a real risk in Teton County, much more than a fire incident. But we have fires, and we certainly can educate our public on how to prevent many of them. So we continue with that risk as well. But we, you know, we have to look at data to verify the work that we're doing is being placed in the right areas of emphasis. If we lived on a grassland, we'd be pretty foolish to put a lot of time and effort and energy in educating the public about how to live in a pine forest and the hazards that are associated with conifers. So I think it absolutely has to do with fundamental risk rather than specific to fire.
So how are you using or implementing CRR within your department or within the county? Can you give me some examples or specifics?
Sure, you bet. Well, I plan to implement a pretty big educational campaign here in the next probably a couple of weeks about highway safety, just because of last night's incident and the realization that there have been three people in our county that have been run over in such a short time. I will use Facebook. Social media is a great way to get the attention of our public. And I will consider an advertising in our newspaper. And then definitely I will bring this to our membership here at the fire department, just to remind them of the hazards of being out. Of course, our emergency responders are at great risk on highways. And it's, you know, the reflective vest is a critical part of maintaining that visibility, plus working with our law enforcement friends to get the roads closed. So that's going to be a big push for me. In the past, carbon monoxide, we had a fatality actually it's been 2 years now. And with that third fatality in our county in a relatively short time, I was able to get some outside funding for carbon monoxide detectors, and we had a big local campaign to make sure folks that had fuel-burning appliances were able to install carbon monoxide detectors in the areas that they needed them in their homes.
Have you had any challenges in doing CRR or implementing it, either internally within the fire department or externally with the public? Anything that comes to mind?
Absolutely no challenges. I've had only support. And I believe the reason for that is the sheer and obvious data. When you say you've had three people die of carbon monoxide in a 10-year span, it's very much on our community's minds. It's because it's a risk that has happened and people have heard about it, not a risk, but an event that has happened and a heightened risk. I think, you know, the occurrence of incidences actually help you promote this campaign of community risk reduction. Whatever you call it, people want to stop preventable injuries and certainly preventable deaths. So I think it works well with that public engagement and awareness of how can we make this stop happening.
Now, twice you've mentioned the word data, and there's actually something I was going to ask you about. How important is data when it comes to programs such as this?
Data is very important, but it's sometimes difficult to garner. And I've found that to be probably one of my biggest challenges. Yet, at the same time, I'm very optimistic that in a community that's this size, and that's what helps me, we're about 20,000 people population-based. We're not a huge community. We become much bigger in the summer when our tourist season starts. However, this community is still small enough to be aware of events that happen. And they don't have to be huge events for that awareness to be on people's mind. Our newspaper is a great liaison in taking these events and bringing them out to the public and helping us educate the public on ways to prevent these incidences. So the data is very important, sometimes hard to get accurately. I've heard many people make cute little quips about data is only as good as the people that, you know, the liars that put it together. So although I believe data is very, very important, I think even more important is the ability to make use of a recent incident that's captured the public's attention, at least for prevention and education methods.
In other words, taking advantage of the teachable moment, right?
The teachable moment, absolutely, the teachable moment. When we have smoke in our air in the summer from wildland fires in the area, that's a time we need to get out and be educating people about defensible space. A community risk, a way to reduce it is to enhance your defensible space. A great opportunity is when smoke is in the air.
And, I mean, I know we talked about how fire prevention CR is not another word for fire prevention, but obviously fire prevention is a component. And for so many people who may be listening to this, fire prevention is things like smoke alarm installs, teaching people two ways out. You have what's, for many people, kind of a unique situation where your fire prevention program is really focused on wildland, isn't it?
Our fire prevention is focused on wildland, but not that specifically. We have an enhanced awareness over the last 5 years, certainly, of the risk that we have here in Teton County. We sit in the middle of a mountain climate that has a lot of heavy forested areas. We haven't gotten any wetter, just like the rest of the western United States. We've seen the drying conditions and the increase of fire in our locale as well. So that has given us the opportunity to be able to really push that message and start to educate our homeowners about what they can do in their backyards. But it's not our only topic. And, you know, we take advantage of the summertime and the smoke in the air for that topic. But this time of the year, I just recently did a post about, it's cold. We had 21 below zero 2 days ago. And we unfortunately see most of our structure fires when it gets to be those bitter cold temperatures. So I want to push that, you know, it's cold. Let's be more aware. Let's prevent that structure fire message. And I do a lot of it through the social media because we're getting enough people looking at our Facebook page now that it's a really good avenue using that Facebook page and asking people, you know, send this message to somebody that you care about, and they usually will.
And I just want to, as an aside, quickly mention you referenced 21 below, and we're recording this at the beginning of December, so I can only imagine what it's going to be like in the depths of winter for you guys.
Yeah, it could be even worse. It's not uncommon for us to go through several days of 30 below zero temperatures. And obviously, there's a huge prevention message that goes along with bitter cold temperatures like that. And it's a risk that our community, you know, when you speak of community risk reduction, we certainly have to look at super cold temperatures as one of our risks. When we walk outside in the morning, whether we're going to ski or whether we're going as emergency responders to help folks that, you know, drive off the road. So it is one of our risks that probably in Atlanta they don't think about.
Hopefully not.
Yes.
Now, would you also say that CRR is also firefighter safety? I mean, we've been talking about the public and the community, but does CRR also relate to firefighter safety as well?
Well, of course, and that's one of my favorite parts of my job. We talk so much about how we work for the public. At the end of the day, one of my favorite parts of the jobs is that I work to keep my firefighters safe, and there's no question about that. In reducing risk, whether it's building a new building and putting fire sprinklers in that building, making sure that they have two ways in and two ways out, every piece of safety that we put in place for the public is also helping our first responders. Pre-incident planning on these buildings, especially the residentials that are made of lightweight wood construction that don't have fire sprinklers, important information for our firefighters to learn and understand. If we don't have life to save in a structure fire, our firefighters are getting trained, put the water from the outside in, you know, hit it hard from the yard, because there's no need to risk your life as a firefighter going into a structure that has no human life in it. And that message is very much a part of what we do in prevention and with community risk reduction, is trying to help not only the public, but keep our first responders safe as well. So the message needs to be not just from the Prevention Bureau, of course, but it needs to come from operations as well. And our leaders in the fire service need to recognize that this work that's done to enhance firefighter safety needs to start as soon as a firefighter gets in a rig, puts on a seatbelt, drives very safely to an incident, and then makes good decisions. Is this a structure that is lightweight wood construction, that isn't going to have much to save, that has no human life, and that at the end of the month is going to get knocked down by a piece of machinery because there's nothing left that's salvageable? Why would we put a firefighter in a structure like that?
What impact do you think CRR has had on the fire service, you know, kind of globally speaking? Has it had a role in changing people, how people think and how they operate, much like you were just talking about in Jackson Hole?
It has for us, definitely. And whether or not that change can be, I'm not sure that many people in the fire service link it directly to community risk reduction, but I do believe the link is there. And I think this is, you know, one of those unintended circumstances to the fire services that's a really good positive outcome, is by reducing risk, we're also reducing the injuries and significant events to our first responders and firefighters, whether they're firefighters or whether they're emergency responders. Because we have to remember, think about where we started with this conversation, in that I am now looking at a big campaign about highway safety. So if I preach this to the public, my first responders get that reminder as well. Internally, we start saying, oh yeah, you know, we got to be careful out there because somebody just got run over the other night, and that could have been one of us. So the message works both for the fire service, emergency responders, and the public. And that's a great unintended circumstance, consequence of community risk reduction messaging.
Well, we've been talking with Kathy Clay, who's a battalion chief and fire marshal with the Jackson Hole, Wyoming Fire and EMS Department. And Kathy, I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing with us what you're doing out there in Jackson Hole.
You bet, Ed. Thank you so much. Keep doing your good work.
To learn more about community risk reduction and the Vision 2020 project, be sure to visit us at www.strategicfire.org. And thanks for listening.